The market for digital images took off last year with the rise of what are called non-fungible tokens, or NFTs for short. Celebrities, corporations, even politicians are getting in on the NFT boom, and especially artists, with sales reaching just under $25 billion in 2021. But not many of us, including me, really understand what they are, how they work, or why people buy them. Josh White is an assistant professor of finance at Vanderbilt University. He was previously a financial economist for the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Josh, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Give me it in a sense that a radio host can understand. What is a non-fungible token?
Yeah, that's the billion-dollar question right now.
So literally.
Yeah, exactly. So let's start with fungible versus non-fungible. So a fungible asset, that's something you can exchange pretty easily. So if I gave you a $20 bill, you could give me two $10 bills and they would have the same value. So it's pretty fungible. So in the crypto space, you know, Bitcoin is actually fungible. It's a fungible token. If I give you one Bitcoin, you can give me one Bitcoin back and we have the same thing. But for a non-fungible asset, that has to be unique and non-divisible. So, you know, your car that you drove to work today, your house, those are very unique assets. They're one of a kind. So a non-fungible token is a way to represent sort of any unique asset and do so on the blockchain.
And the blockchain is what kind of guarantees its uniqueness, I guess. What are some of the range of things we've seen turned into these sellable but non-replicatable, I guess, NFTs?
Yeah. So it's exactly that. You know, most of these are based on Ethereum, which is a blockchain technology that gave us the Ethereum or Ether cryptocurrency. So a lot of the early rage with NFTs came from digital art. You know, if you own the Mona Lisa, we know that has an intrinsic value and that's pretty easy. But if you're a digital artist, then your files or your art can be sort of easily and endlessly duplicated. And so with an NFT, the reason it took off is because you can tokenize that art and it allows the, you know, the content creator to monetize that. And I can give you a digital certificate of ownership and it's unique and that ownership can be verified.
So say I become an artist, not going to happen, but say I do, and I paint Mona Lisa 2022 by Rob. I can send all sorts of images. People can copy them, but I can declare one to be the unique one, give it this Ethereum blockchain code that makes it unique. I've just created an NFT. Did I do it right?
You did it right. You got that right. And I don't know what the value would be. I haven't seen your art.
Oh, it's very, very low.
You know, where this took off to sort of in the early stage is in collectibles. So it moved from art to collectibles. There's something called NBA Top Shot, where when I was a kid, I would collect baseball cards. But these are collections of digital highlights, and you can trade the digital highlights with other people that collect them. And so these NFTs allow sort of a community to build around collecting digital content.
So for my Mona Lisa 2022, anybody can have this image, but somebody puts value in having the unique image of that. And that's what gives it value if people are willing to pay for it. That's what's going on with any of these NFTs, right?
Yeah. So the scarcity gives it some value. NFTs also can provide content access. And so using the same blockchain technology, you can control who has access to certain content. So if you had some content that you put somewhere on a website, you could have a certain number of NFTs that you sell, and only those that held that would be able to access that content.
Talking to Josh White, assistant professor of finance at Vanderbilt University, looking at these non-fungible tokens, these NFTs, a lot of money in them last year, and we're figuring out what they are, how they work. Now, here's a twist. Some congressional candidates in both parties, even Melania Trump, have sold NFTs for fundraising purposes. People said this could raise weird questions when it comes to campaign finance and the transparency of who's getting money from whom. What do you think of the political frontiers of this?
Yeah, so we're not too surprised to see it start to spill over in the political space, and some companies are starting to issue these as well. I mean, we know that campaigning is expensive, so they're always looking for sort of unique ways to raise capital to finance that. Some of the questions that come up are exactly what you touched on. You know, we want to make sure we have election commissions that limit the amount of money that anyone can donate to a campaign, and so You know, your candidates would not want to run afoul of those sort of campaign finance laws. So the big concern is how they're paying to acquire the NFT. Are they paying with what we call fiat currency, with dollar bills, or are they paying with cryptocurrency? And if it's a cryptocurrency payment, then there's a potential that you can obfuscate who's actually making the donation.
I've seen some people point toward a benefit of selling these tokens, especially in the art world, where an artist can make money, which can be tough to do if you're creating digital art in particular, knowing that once it's out there, anybody can copy it. Do you see that as an upside here?
I do see it as an upside, you know, and we've even seen larger companies start to do this. AP, the Associated Press, they have a large stock of photos, and they're starting to sell, you know, a picture of planet Earth that maybe AP has the rights to. And so I think you will see this across the spectrum of artists and companies and entities looking for a way to monetize some of the assets that they have.
I've seen some people argue, Josh, that this is kind of a wave of the future cutting edge technology, but there seems to be suspicion out there that this is just some sort of elaborate consensual hallucination that's going to come crashing down someday. Where are you on that spectrum?
Yeah, it's, you know, the last 12 months, it's been very difficult to predict things. We had meme stocks, and we had a wave of this, and we saw the stock market do things that looked pretty irrational. I think the NFT technology and, you know, what it's going to do and how it's going to transform business, I think this might be the lasting technology that comes out of this sort of crypto craze that's actually really useful. And so we're seeing a lot of companies talk about something known as the metaverse. And I think NFTs will be very important there, you know, as you access and monetize content in this space.
If somebody's out there listening thinking, hey, this sounds kind of cool, I'd love to buy something like a digital baseball card or a artist series or something like that, I would not know how to start. How would somebody get into the game here?
Yeah, I would first say I worked at the SEC, so first be careful. You know, a lot of times when we have new technologies, we fall victim to something known as the fear of missing out. And so we enter into something we're not familiar with, and you know, there's usually somebody on the other side looking to take some money. But I would look at a platform like OpenSea. It's the sort of largest marketplace for trading crypto collectibles. If nothing else, it's fun to see what's being sold, what the values are, who's paying these enormous amount of monies for NFTs. And then also, if it's collectibles, you could think about something like NBA Top Shop, and you could go look at those you know, basketball highlights and see who's paying what for a LeBron James slam dunk. And so those are two places I would start.
Now, I'm not going to ask you for personalized financial advice, but I know some people are using these as vehicles for investment or maybe speculation, if you call it that. What kind of cautions would you have for somebody who thinks of, hey, I'm going to get into this and make lots of money buying and selling these things?
Yeah, so my advice would be, I think it's fine to, you know, so when we think about finance, and so we teach this in our class, we're really not trying to maximize wealth. We're trying to maximize our happiness or utility. And unfortunately, things are expensive. And so usually happiness follows with wealth because we need money to buy things. So I think it's okay to go out and invest and dabble in something like this with small amounts. You know, if it's making you happy and you view it as entertainment and you lose small amounts of money, I think that's okay. You know, if you take your retirement savings and you put a really large amount of money in the space, then that's when it starts to get troublesome.
As we wrap up, Josh, you said you're a baseball card guy. I was too for a while. Is there something you could see yourself dabbling in similar to your old baseball card hobby?
I have bought some of the highlights on this NBA Top Shot. And it's interesting. I think that, you know, when we were kids, it was always the scarce card that brought the, you know, that's the one everybody wanted, the rare Mickey Mantle or whatever. And it's interesting to see that it's the same thing in this space. You see the highlights that there's fewer of those available. They bring more money. And as the players start to do better, the value of those highlights increase. So that's kind of fun to watch.
Josh, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Josh White is an assistant professor of finance at Vanderbilt University with us to explain non-fungible tokens or NFTs and their increasing popularity. I wonder if there's one of the Kurt Bevacqua Major League Baseball bubblegum championship card. That was a favorite of mine as a kid.